Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Carl, and we are going to do our Bible study today for the next hour and a half. And we're going to pick up. Last week we started with the Gospel of John, and we read chapter 14. And in chapter 14, we got up to verse 11. So I'm going to start today with John chapter 14, and we are going to start with verse 12. And why I'm doing John chapter 14, 15, and 16, after being in the Old Testament for so long, talking about the promised land, which if you're a believer, you're in, and the history of the people of Israel. In 450 years, they never overcame the enemy in the promised land. And we read that in the book of Judges and 1 Samuel, where in 450 years, they had 10 different episodes where they rebelled against God and went to idolatry, would not trust that God had conquered the enemy in the promised land. We are in the same situation, every one of us. How many times have we as believers openly, willingly, and desiredly turned to sin? We know we've done it. We know they make a good word out of backsliding. That's a little less painful than what the Bible calls that, where they went into 450 years, 10 times they went into rebellion. We do the same thing. Now, having accepted all that and having repented of it, they still, in 450 years as a nation, they still, 9 times, went back into the issue of rebelling against God. So there comes a major problem here that we see. And the major problem that there becomes is, hold on, let me get Raven. Be getting on. Are you there yet? No?
I'm here.
Okay.
Here.
The major problem becomes, folks, once we have turned to the rebellion, as we've been on for maybe a year, of being in the promised land, and we rebel. We call it nice little terms like backsliding. It's not, I'm sorry, I don't even know what that word is. But what we do is we open bold face intentionally and willingly do just as the believers did in Israel. We willingly turn to secret gods, to our own gods, to the gods that we want to depend on, to idolatry. So we all go through this. But why, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, Raven was talking to Reading, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And I thought, we got to do this after we're done with a series that lasted probably a year about rebelling in the promised land, which if you're a believer, you are in the promised land. And chances are, if you've been a believer for any period of time, you have openly experimented with sin. That's just the way it is. Now, where do you draw the line between willing to give in to that temptation and just temptation, which in itself is not a sin? I am not capable of giving you a set of parameters. There are none. In modern Christianity, in the seeker-sensitive movement, the prosperity gospels, and all the other passed to the lake of fire for eternity, they give you all kinds of justifications. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to just tell you that 10 times in the 450 years, believers, definitely believers, openly rebelled against God and went to their own gods. Open rebellion. We do the same thing. You repent, as they did. But when they repented over 450 years, they repented 9 times, and 10 times God restored them. And the tenth time they finally told God, go pound Saul. In 1 Samuel 8:6, they told Samuel, who was the final judge, we no longer want this God. We don't want any part of him. How do we, once we have gone through a period of rebellion, what do we do? How do we do it? Do we now line Carl's pockets with money because of all the commentaries and all the books and all the ways of overcoming evil? Because Carl, after all, is an expert. No. Well, what do we do? Do we go to, I've heard in our in-person, I call it Bible studies. Since COVID, I call it in-person because most of my time on Bible studies are over the phone. In the in-person Bible studies, I hear almost weekly, I've got a Christian counselor you got to go to. And my acid level in my stomach increases exponentially when I hear that. I wonder, that's why we started, I'm picking up on a statement Raven made maybe 3 weeks ago about the Holy Spirit. There is only one person, folks, who can deter you from rebellion, from committing sin. There's only one that can keep you. Think of the Lord's Prayer, the ending of the Lord's Prayer, basically. Deliver us from evil, lead us not into temptation. And that's praying to God. Now, read Romans 8:13, please, Raven.
Okay.
I want to turn people away from going, this passion that the Church of Laodicea has today, which is a church that is totally run by Satan. And I'm not saying you're an individual church. I'm speaking a public, I'm speaking a general statement. And incidentally, for those people who may think I've got a heck of a nerve, better word to use. I have had, and you've heard this before, in the last month, I've heard Dr. Jack Graham, Erwin Lutzer, who was for Moody Broadcasting. I've heard John MacArthur. I've heard Dr. David Jeremiah. Jimmy Swaggart, I've heard say this for 23 years. And I've heard Greg Laurie. And I've heard a fellow named Alistair Begg out of Cleveland. And all these people are rather stable. They're not nuts. They're not after. They're not preaching prosperity gospel. They're certainly not preaching seeker sensitive. But they are saying that the church today, they're saying the church today, because I remember getting jumped in a Bible study because I said the modern church. So the church today, the modern church, is Laodicea, folks. The two characteristics of Laodicea were money, wealth, prosperity as one, all the same thing. And the other one was an overflow of God's works that God was so repulsed by, he said, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. People can't see it. Even an atheist can't see that is the poster child of the churches today. Those two characteristics, then we're on a different wavelength. But once you've repented, and let's say you're sincere, and you keep failing. The reason you keep failing is because you're going to man to solve a carnal problem. Read Romans 8:13.
For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live.
I don't even need to explain. You don't need Carl's hermeneutics course for $300 to understand that. If you live according to the flesh, which means your own ability.
Yes.
Doesn't mean your lust and craving to take over the Playboy mansion. It means if you live according to your dependency on your ability and your religious ability and your commitment and all of your random acts of kindness and your resolve, you will die. And it's not talking physically, folks. If you die in that state, having continued in that state for, and I don't know, I'm not God, I can't judge. But if you, God says, if you live in that state, you will die. And that means spiritually. It's no great revelation to anybody that they're going to die physically. I'm sure when Abel died from his brother Cain, when religion killed a person of faith, which started tribulation, for those who say we're not going to go through tribulation, I'm sure that even Abel could say, yes, we're going to physically die. So that's a given, no matter who you are. Even Jesus Christ is a man. But what Raven is saying in that verse, Romans 8:13, is you're going to die spiritually. If you die in a state where, and not that you're not the perfect person you want to be, or that your church or denomination tells you are, or that if you have certain spiritual gifts, you are. If you don't have them, your spiritual gifts are powerless, and I have that in writing from a commentary. You're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, that's the Holy Spirit. It's a capital S. That shows you, folks, that we can't do it. Don't send me to a psychologist. Don't send me to a counselor. You want to help me with my problem? Pray for me that the Holy Spirit shows me the way to go and what to do and how to do it. Now, this other word here that I want to find the verse, and I got to be honest with you, I'm sort of hemming and hawing, stuttering, trying to find it. It's a verse that says we do not fight. Do you know what that is, Raven? We do not fight carnal wars with spiritual
Ephesians
6:12? Wars.
Ephesians 6:12?
We do not fight. We do not fight
Did I lose you? Hello? Hello? Do I still have you? Either I lost you or you lost me. Okay, I don't know if I lost you or you lost me.
Hello.
Oh, there you are.
Okay,
I hear you.
I got disconnected there. Apologize. It was my fault.
Okay, you got. I wasn't sure if I got disconnected or you did. Okay.
Nope, I did. I know what I did wrong. Doesn't mean I won't do it again.
Okay.
But there's a verse in the Bible about we do not, it's connected to Ephesians 6:12. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but the powers of darkness and forces of evil and heavenly kingdoms. It is saying that we do not fight spiritual wars with carnal weapons. And I it's in Corinthians, I know that, and but I just don't know. But let's just take it. That is a verse in the Bible. We do not fight carnal spiritual battles with carnal weapons. And yet the reason that I want to go over three chapters of John of the Holy Spirit is because, folks, I don't think I have ever been in a Bible study or a sermon or a discussion about the Bible where someone had a problem and they were ever told to do nothing on their own, go to prayer to the Holy Spirit because he's the only counselor. I don't think I've ever heard that. And that's what I want to get to today. So we left off last week.
Maybe 2 Corinthians 10:4.
That's it. I was in 2 Corinthians and I was at 10:5. I don't know. You're looking at it. Does that say it?
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal,
but
mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Yeah.
That's it. That's it. I was in 2 Corinthians 10:5. I just didn't have the Yep. Yep. Casting down imagination, you're in 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Right. Okay, now read verse 5.
But mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience.
Okay, but that's it, folks. You bring all these thoughts. You bring all these, you don't fight a spiritual battle with carnal weapons, means Carl's wisdom, Carl's philosophy, a counselor, a psychologist. Well, these people are trained. Go ahead and have them trained. The church has proved one thing. We are the most corrupt as far as following the words of the Bible, church in history, because this nation is in the pits of immorality, unlike even Bill Maher, if you know who he is. I just heard something with him yesterday, and I don't follow him. I've never watched him. But the video, the title on it was, this is the last guy you'd expect to say that this country is in the pits of immorality. I understand he's not a Christian, and I understand that he is a little sarcastic towards God. And even he said that in this thing, not about the Bible, but we are in the biggest pit of immorality the country's ever seen. And that's the church's fault, per 2 Chronicles 7:14. And the reason is, folks, in church, I've never heard anybody say the first thing you do is go to prayer, James 1:5, and ask for wisdom. There is no solution to these problems per Romans 8:13. If you put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit, you will live, and it means spiritual life. It could have an effect on your eternal soul. I'm not saying it will cause you to go to hell. I'm not saying anything. I'm not God. I'm just telling you what the Bible's saying. So I want to continue to emphasize. Now look at this. Cast down imaginations. Right after it says, do not fight spiritual battles with carnal weapons, meaning man's ability for pulling down of strongholds, but cast these imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to what? To Carl's obedience, Raymond's obedience, my church's obedience, my pastor's obedience? No, to the obedience of Christ. You have to rely on Christ's knowledge, his wisdom. There is no, now, am I saying that there's not counselors out there who help? They do. I know for a fact, even though it's not deliverance, it's willpower. I have been delivered from addictions by my own effort, but it was like pulling teeth without any Novocaine or any painkiller. I also know what it's like to have been delivered from an addiction, delivered by Christ. We're talking about deliverance. So I'm not saying that, let's say, the 12-step program of AA can't help. But I'm saying when we're fighting a spiritual war, where we put this pretty little term, backsliding, rather than creating a false God before the living God, or calling it what it is, open rebellion against God because you love your sin more than you do God. We call it a little nice term called backsliding. I don't know where that ever came from. I believe, according to J. Vernon McGee, it came from an agricultural term. Whether it did or not, who knows? But this is saying...
That's interesting.
Yeah,
no, I just said that's interesting. Yeah, I just said that's interesting. I didn't know that.
I heard him say that. But you're bringing all of these thoughts, folks. Which thoughts? The thoughts of our warfare, the weapons of warfare. The thoughts of the failure of the weapons of warfare of humanity. And what are you going to do? You're bring them, and I quote verbatim. Bring them into the captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Yeah.
Go to a counselor. Go to a Christian psychologist. Go to your pastor. Don't come to me because I can't even help myself. Go to anybody you want. spend millions of dollars on Christian crude. Do whatever you want. You really want to be delivered? There's only one path. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, meaning my ability, but mighty through God to pull down strongholds, cast down imaginations. And that's what any addiction or any backsliding or any sin is. It starts in the mind. You imagine it. You fantasize. But mighty through God, bringing every thought into captivity of the obedience of Christ. Why would we not want, why won't they say that in churches?
Mm-hmm.
Because, folks, I don't believe they believe it. I don't know.
Now, Carl?
I'm not casting just, yeah.
I'm going to take what you just said, and I'm going to expand that. I'm going to expand it.
Right ahead, because I don't retract one word, folks. I'm as serious about this as I am about the very breath I take. I cannot understand how Bible-believing preachers and teachers of the gospel, seminary graduates, Bible college, I cannot, master's degrees, PhDs, want to give a course how to stop backslide. There ain't no course. John, 2 Corinthians 10, 5. Go ahead. Expand on it, please.
Now, now we're talking here about spiritual and mental and emotional problems, right? I'm going to say that that includes physical.
Well, every problem is either physical, spiritual, mental. They're all intertwined.
Right,
because
exactly. And I'm going to say,
even if you're a professional athlete, you're in that good physical shape. When you get into addictions and you get into spiritual warfare and you lose at it, it's taking a toll on your mind, on your body, on your spirit.
Yep.
Physically, it does take its toll on the spiritual. Look at alcohol. Look what it's done to these professionals. Look at some of these. Get on YouTube and go back to some of these NFL players back in the 80s, even the 90s, and how they've destroyed themselves with drugs and alcohol. I'll mention one who's pretty well known, a guy by the name of Lawrence Taylor. Another one was a guy named Deion Sanders. He didn't destroy himself, but he sure created all kinds of problems for himself. But go ahead.
But what I was going to say is that, you know, sin in the world is what has caused physical ailments. We would not have physical.
It does, yes.
That's
right.
We would not have physical ailments if it wasn't for sin. And we have people now saying, well, you know, why does your God allow cancer? Why does this God of yours allow this and this? And why does this God of yours allow little children to die and poverty and all this kind of thing? And this is the kind of thing that I've heard. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I hear it every day of the week and 30 times on Sunday.
That's right. But God allows people free will. And in fact, allowed Satan free will.
Absolutely.
Which is why Satan, fell.
Without it, I'd be a puppet. And I would say immediately, I'm away. I'm gone. I'll never be on Bible study in my life. Go ahead.
That's right. But we would still be sitting in the Garden of Eden, but we would be doing, we would be, just like you said, I like the way you said it, we would be puppets. We would be, you know, doing everything exactly according to, we'd be like little marionettes, right? Little strings.
Well,
we'd be on little strings.
We're acting out, God is the writer of the story, and he's the one who's going to tell us what to do. You're right. Now, I do believe there is a term called predestination. There's also a
lot.
I'm not denying them. But you cannot, if you read the Old Testament alone, as Joshua says, today, decide who you're going to serve.
That's right.
So go ahead.
We decide. That's right. Yep. We decide. So, but here's the thing. There is a, God gives us medical care. You know, he gives us the ability to have medical care. All right. And he gives us also faith. So we have to balance out what we're going to do and what we're going to believe God actually does. You know, we're going to have to realize that, yes, we believe in God and that we have faith in him. Now, does that mean that we walk away from all medicine? No, that doesn't mean that. But it does mean that we pray before we do, you know, before we do anything, and that we are in contact with him, and that we have faith in him for everything, for everything. So when, you know, we have people, I literally was told by someone once that the reason I was sick, okay, the reason I was sick was because I didn't have enough faith.
Right.
I'm going to tell you that same person has is going through issues and has been going through issues within about 6 months after this person told me that, started going through issues with this person. I don't even want to say if it's male or female. So, but this person started going through issues with person's self and spouse that has almost destroyed his or her life. And, mm-hmm. and I never once said, well, you know, look to your faith, because I wasn't going to slam that back in this person's face. Do you understand what
no,
I'm saying?
No, because then you're fighting a spiritual war with carnal weapons.
Yes. We must be very careful about slapping people in the face with faith. But at the same time, we must remind people that, yes, you know, we have to go to God. And there's a verse that you use, Carl, which I just love, and I can't remember where it's at right now. But that is it in 1 Peter about making sure that we respond with gentleness.
Oh, 2 Timothy 2.
2 Timothy, okay.
5, yeah, 2 Timothy 2:24.
Okay. Yes, yes.
That's it.
And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. Yes, yes, exactly. And this is why, you know, I love how you're putting this, because it's like, yeah, we have to go in faith. We have to be in faith with everything. But at the same time, we have to balance everything as well. Like what you're going through right now, you know, you're going through some medical issues, but you're balancing, you're trying to balance your faith and your belief that God is also in charge of the doctor that you're seeing.
To be honest with you, Raven, you're exactly right. What I'm trying to do, folks, is not trying to do, but asking God to make me do, is what we read in 2 Corinthians 10:5, and that is mm-hmm. to do not, 4 and 5, do not fight spiritual warfare, and sickness is spiritual warfare, because all sins, mm-hmm. all trouble in this world for humans is because of sin, not yours necessarily,
yeah.
although it might be. It is because
right.
of sin entering the world in Genesis 3. So what I'm trying
yes.
to do, I'm trying to use my brain and listen to what medical people tell me that makes sense, because medical people contradict each other too, and
yes.
use the God-given abilities that the medical doctors have and that the medicine has. But my faith is not to be healed by man's wisdom, but by God. Now, this is a two-edged sword here. This is a thin line. I'm afraid, Raven, and I'm very much, that I could get to depend on man's wisdom rather than the power of God. That's what I'm trying to balance. I'm trying to do. This is so serious to me right now because I'm going through this battle we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is very easy to tip too far into this fleshly battle.
Oh, yes.
It's very easy to do that.
Feel better. Absolutely.
Yeah.
When I listen to a Christian psychologist or a counselor or a guy like me who can't even help himself, but he's an expert and can help other people, and you come out of their office and for 30 seconds you're higher than a kite. They got to scrape your hair off the ceiling. But once you get in the car and head home and the world's back to itself, you feel like a piece of any whatever. I'm talking about, and this is amazing you brought this up because this is right the crosshairs of where I am now with a horrible physical problem that nobody can even maybe never identify. There's all kinds of medical opinions. I got to wait 7 weeks to get into a neurologist to find out the issue. But the point of the matter is I'm going to go to doctors. I'm going to get in line with what they're saying. I may even get a second opinion. But my faith is not going to be in a man to cure either my spiritual problem or my physical. It can't be.
Yes.
And what just blows my mind, and I mean it, folks, is in churches, all I ever hear, even this morning, they've got to go to this counselor. They got to go to that counselor. They got to read this book. No. You've got a problem that's tormenting you, and you've all experienced it. And if you haven't, then you got a bigger problem because Satan's not bothering you.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I've never heard, maybe Dave, Pastor Dave, I know Pastor Eric said it, so I shouldn't say never. Go to God first. Not saying don't go to doctors. I'm not saying that the only time you go to doctors is when you were born and when you die. I'm not that mentality. I believe in medical. But medical science is a gift of God. Go to the one who is the counselor, the teacher, the only helper. And that's where I want to pick up here in John 14:12, because we're getting very, very close to what Jesus says. Jesus himself says he is the counselor, the only counselor. Yes. Why do we not bring that up? And I mean it, Raven. I, even this week, have heard 3 or 4 times, you've got to go to this counselor. You've got to go to a Christian psychologist. You've got to go. I'm not saying don't go to them. If you want to blow your money, go ahead. But I'm saying do not fight a spiritual battle with a carnal weapon. And the ones that irritate me with this is not the world. The programs on TV where they've got a solution for everything and yet their life is full of suicide and hypocrisy and human trafficking. I'm saying the church does not believe these verses that we're going to read. Now, I want you to just take a second here. And I want you to read John 14:26, 15:26, and 16:13. Then we're going to come back to John 14:12. And I want you to read it slow so people have time to hear the words you're saying.
Okay, 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you.
I will go out. I'm not on a limb. I'm on a very solid oak piece of wood. The church doesn't believe that anymore when they believe the moon is made of green cheese. And I'm not talking everybody. I'm talking the current Laodicean church. And those ministers that I gave you, 7 in the beginning, Jeremiah, MacArthur, Alistair Begg, Greg Laurie, Erwin Lutcher, Moody Broadcasting. I've heard them in the last 4 weeks all say, we are in Laodicea, folks. Open your eyes. Okay, go to 1526. And part of Laodicea is we don't go to God for answers. We go to men. That's why God says, even though you're full of good works, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. 1526.
But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me.
Okay. And we're talking not me, an author of a book, or Carl's Bible study. We're talking
right.
The creator of the universe, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. Okay, go to 1613. The church doesn't believe these verses, folks. That's the hideousness of it.
Yes. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come.
Why do we not believe that? And I'm being general with its statement, church. I'll never forget the classic case, Raven, where in a nursing home, I made a comment about the general condition of the church, and a lady interrupted me, a worker there, and she got very upset with me, very upset. You're criticizing me. I said, ma'am, do I know you? No. I said, well, how do I know your pastor? Calm down. Cool our jets, folks. We're not talking about Carl being brighter than your pastor. Who really gives a rip whether I'm even dead or alive, honestly? We're talking about the words of God that the church today, as a generality, refuses to accept. And it is predominant on many of these Christian broadcasters that I look at as credible. I definitely look at, and all of them have warts. I look at MacArthur as preaching a gospel. Do I see problems with him that I don't understand or agree? Yes. Jimmy Swaggart. Erwin Lutzer, Moody Broadcasting, Dr. Jack Graham, Ph.D., Dallas Theological Seminary. Does this list of human accomplishments mean anything? Not really, but they're not nuts. Dr. David Jeremiah, Greg Laurie. These are people who are not fanatics or have not shown themselves to be fanatics. And they are all saying in the last 4 to 5 weeks that I've heard of each one of them individually that we are in Laodicea so high that we can't even see daylight. This is not something that I thought up because I'm smarter than everybody else listening to the radio or going to church. But when you hear these people and they say, just look around you, look around you. You can't deny it. Why do we not want to go to the only one that can help us? And this is in the church. We're that way. All right, let's go back to John 14, because we are going to stay, folks. We're going to finish every last word from John 14, 1 through John 16, 33, which is talking about the Holy Spirit is the only one to go to, because 2 Corinthians 10:4, do not fight spiritual battles with carnal weapons. Now, do I say never go to a counselor? I didn't say that. Don't hear what I didn't say. Do I say never go to a psych? I didn't say that. I'm not medically qualified to say that. If I understand it correctly, I believe psychologists are medical doctors. No, I'm not saying what you do. That's up to you, where you want to spend your time, your money, and your effort. All I'm saying, the church has gotten totally away from going to God first. Read James 1:5. That I can't explain it better than that.
James 1:5. If any of you lacks
wisdom. Yeah, what do I do if I lack wisdom? Go ahead.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him.
Does that say it's a 99 and 44, 100% chance like Ivory Soap used to be? No. It will be given to them. We don't believe that in the churches, folks. We don't believe that. We don't believe it.
There is a codicil to that, however. Verse 6.
Yep.
But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. Double-minded man, unstable in all his ways.
Well, see, the reason you need the participle is because people don't believe the last statement. It will be given to them. It will.
Yes.
It's not conditional. But if you don't believe it, then it's null and void.
Right. Yes.
All right. So we're going to go back again. I was just going to say
that's really not God. That's you. The problem is we need to realize that. The problem is you. You're not getting it because
Absolutely.
Of your own lack of faith.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
God gives you the answers in his Bible and prayer. But you put up a roadblock.
That's right.
You put up a wall so he doesn't get to you. You know this. In fact, Raven, even with this problem I've got, early on, people are telling me I've got to go to a Christian chiropractor, and we know the man. We'll even call him for you.
Yeah.
Not one Christian person I heard ever said to me, pray first.
Oh, that's not true.
folks, the problem, I'm hyperventilated over this, but the problem is the church doesn't believe it. I'm not worried because Bill Maher supposedly doesn't believe it. Or Jay Leno doesn't believe it. I don't know what he believes.
I was going to say, I know one person that said that to you.
Okay.
Raven,
I'm not talking in our circle, Raven. I'm not talking, Raven.
Okay.
What you're saying, unfortunately, is detracting from the truth that we are so far in Laodicea, we're hellbound.
But yes, you're right. You're right. Yes.
I'm talking when I
99%.
Here, Raven.
At least I see what you mean, though. Yeah.
If I had a criticism about you, I wouldn't be airing it on worldwide radio.
Okay.
All right.
But I see what you mean, though. 99.9% of people are not going to take. That's right. Yeah. I see what you mean.
Let's go to John 14 and start with 9, and we'll continue through 14.
Okay. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father?"
This is his own people, folks. This is his own apostles. This is not the Bill Maher of the world. I don't know anything about Bill Maher. He may be a canonized saint. All I've heard or saw with this note above the YouTube interview, that Bill Maher is as far from a Christian as you can be. I don't know. I don't know anything about the man. I don't watch television. I don't watch news.
Right.
But look at this. Yeah. This is his own apostles. Go ahead, 10.
Right. "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works."
Now think of that. Christ did not speak one word or do one thing that the Father did not tell him to do. That is total submission to the Father. When Jesus was going to go to the cross, and he knew it, what did he say in Gethsemane? He didn't go to Luke, the medical doctor, or to a psychologist, if there were such things then in Greece, which I'm sure there were. That's all they did was fantasize about thoughts. He went to the Father and said, "If this cross can be taken from me, but nevertheless your will be done."
Yes.
Okay, keep going.
Yes. All right. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves.
In other words, but we don't in the churches. We don't, folks. And again, laving aside, I've not had one person tell me, get on your knees to start with before you do anything. Okay, keep going.
Yeah. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father.
That verse puzzled me for a while. A long while. Believe on me, and the works you shall do, there will be greater works. Greater works here is a quantity because it's contradictory to the Bible to rank one thing about God's perfection above another.
Yeah.
The reason why
I see what you're saying,
greater works in quantity, folks, is because these people were only exposed to Jesus Christ as they were around him. But when he died, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, the Counselor, the Teacher, the only one, that he would come to every believer. Do you see why that verse, it's the greater works, greater number? Because if we start getting off on a tangent, and all the Laodicean churches I've been in or exposed to the preaching, I've never heard anybody even say that God ranks one of his works above another. That's coming up, I'm sure, but I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, that makes sense. I never really thought of that before you brought it up, Carl, but that makes perfect sense. Yeah, you're right. We can't do anything better than God.
I got to be honest with you. The man people love to hate, Jimmy Swaggart, explained that, and I agreed totally with him.
Because
it's not because I am a member of his church or his media church or anything. I believe it because he says, do you realize that when we say that we are saying God had less than perfect works?
Right. Or that we can somehow do better works than God. That's crazy.
That's taking it to the heights of stupidity.
Yeah.
The heights of stupidity.
Yeah. Can you imagine us doing better works than God? That's ridiculous.
Oh, it is, Raven, but false doctrine in the church today has nothing to do with limits of ridiculousness. And
right.
That is not from Carl, folks. I've given you twice the names of the very credible people preaching the gospel who have said that on worldwide radio and television. Okay, and internet. They're all on the internet. All right. 13.
All right. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
Do you see the interdependency of the triune God? And this goes back to 2 weeks ago on your radio show on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are involved in every act and have been in every act since the beginning of eternity, which I can't even understand. That statement. They have been involved and are involved in every aspect of everything that the Father does in us and through us and by us and for us. And whatever you ask in his name, he will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Remember in John 17 where Jesus says, I pray not for the world, but I'm praying for those people that you have given me. And he made the comment that you have glorified me and I am glorifying you. And
yes.
Let's go to John 16:14 and just read the first phrase and it will state that very thing. This is Jesus telling you about the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit's only purpose on this earth? The first phrase up to the first comma in John 16:14.
However, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth.
Okay, John 16:14.
Oh, 14. I was in 13. I'm so sorry. He will glorify me.
Stop.
He will glorify me.
That's it. Do you see the validity, Raven, of every verse we're looking at here of what you said a couple Wednesday nights ago?
Yeah.
It's not just the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ is out with God the Father at a Dunkin' Donuts shop and they forgot we got a meeting today. They have been intimately involved in everything that happens. Jesus Christ even says that he never did one work or never said one word that the Father did not give him. Do you imagine that?
Yes. Yeah.
That's John 14:10? Yes. That's amazing. In fact, I got to highlight that. That is the verse that I think of so often that I have since your program a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night. In fact, that's on Wednesday night, 7:30 on this Eastern Standard Time.
Now think about that a minute, Carl.
I've never heard anybody even – I thought of it before, but I've never heard anyone in 37 years publicly state that but you. But go ahead.
Publicly state what? About
– that the triune God is at work in everything.
Okay. I have to be honest with you, Carl. Until that night, until I did that study, which, I mean, God just put on me that night, I had never thought about it either. It's not something that I came up with before that night. This is something that God laid on me that night during that study. I never contemplated it, never studied it,
Raven?
Never, nothing before then, never.
Okay, Raven, you know that I'm struggling with time, right?
Yes.
Time. I'm struggling
yes.
with time. My Thursday night Bible study was a one-hour study, 1 hour and 10 minutes. I
mm-hmm.
was there for almost 3 hours. Time with 18
wow.
studies a week is against me. At 80 years old, I'm struggling time-wise. Do you
yeah.
think if I didn't believe what you said, and I mean this sincerely, if
mm-hmm.
I didn't believe what you just said, that the Holy Spirit explained it to you and he's the one speaking through you, do you think I'd waste
mm-hmm.
90 minutes a week listening to you on radio? No, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
That's the
I believe
reason
you.
I'm listening to you on radio. I'm not doing it to reciprocate because you're on helping me with this. I absolutely
yeah, I,
would not waste 90 minutes of my time if I didn't believe
I,
what
I
be, you just
I believe
said.
You. Yeah, and
oh,
the
I,
only
I,
reason
– Yeah, go ahead.
I've told you this before, Carl, and I got to tell you that if someone had told me 3-4 years ago that I'm trying to think of how to put this. If somebody had told me 3 or 4 years ago that God would be leading me weekly, not just in what to preach on, but in exactly what to say all the way through it, that I would need no notes, I would need no nothing, that he would take me to where to teach from, and he would tell me exactly what I would have thought, you don't know what you're talking about. I just didn't.
Well, Raven, at that time,
I didn't understand
yeah.
it.
Well,
what?
Let me tell you something else. And well, here I will talk about you. You have told me
okay.
several times that when you made the suggestion when COVID hit to paralyze the world, you told
mm-hmm.
me you're the one that came up with the idea and called me like Eric did about the YouTube. You called me in my YouTube that I do 3 times a week, the studies.
Mm-hmm.
You told me to go on the radio. And at that time,
yeah.
you said you would never dream that you would even want to do something like that. And yet here you're doing your
That's,
own.
You're right.
But
That's
see,
true.
Raven,
yeah.
That, again, and I'm not trying to make you feel good, but if I didn't believe
right.
you were being guided by the Holy Spirit, especially when I can't sleep at night with the pain I'm in now, plus
right.
the Bible studies I do. Oh, it's only 18, Carl, 18 hours. Yeah. Transportation to and from. 3 hours on Thursday night. Most of my phone conversations, the minimum on my phone, minimum, and I do like 9 or 10 a week, are an hour and 15 minutes. Absolute bare bones minimum. Do you think I would waste my time 90 minutes every week listening to you if I didn't believe what you're saying? I wouldn't.
I don't.
I wouldn't. Yeah. I don't have the time. Maybe back when I was 50 or 60 or even 70 and my brain was clear and my mind was clear, but not now. And not only that, my body's breaking down.
Right. Yeah.
In fact, I'll tell you something else. Yeah. I would not want you raving on here giving your personal opinion to the people listening to this program if I didn't believe that about you. And that's crude, but that's the way I believe.
No, I understand. I understand what you're saying. I am overwhelmed.
And that's a good word.
And
you always will be.
Yes, I'm overwhelmed and I don't have the words to explain how much joy and how, all I can say is, I guess, honored. I don't know how else to put, blessed, how blessed I am that God allows me to do this. That he has put this ministry in me, because you and I both know, we've talked about Eric on here a few times, and when I used to see him preach.
Eric, you're talking about
Eric the Good,
the pastor of the Father's house. Yeah, the Father's house.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. When I used to see him preach, I used to just be amazed by his preaching because I knew that that was the Holy Spirit in him, in him. Now, did I worship him or idolize him? No, that's not what I mean. But I just thought that was, I mean, I knew it was God working through him.
But you know, Raven, I know where you're going with this, because I was the same way. This man, you could tell him to turn to Isaiah chapter 50 and read 50, and he would start spewing off other verses he had no notes or nothing.
Yeah.
He was just going on.
Yes.
But that is exactly what the Holy, now Raven, the thing people got to understand, and your modern church is not going to tell you, that if you are truly born again, God has given you the same ability in some one of the ministries he's given you. But the church is never going to tell you that. They're going to be like Carl, an idiot like Carl, and give you an aptitude test to see what your spiritual gifts are.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to be like
the
church. Raven, you know the town west of Swanton?
Yes.
A church?
Yes.
That someone you know has been to, they actually give you instructions and teach you how to speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit can't do that.
That's right. Yeah, right.
But I'm telling you,
Raven.
But
see, this is my whole point.
Yeah,
I thought I would never be able to be in any sort of ministry because I wouldn't be going off to some sort of Bible college. God doesn't need me to go to Bible college. He doesn't need
that. Raven. We don't believe that,
See?
Raven. Trust me, we don't.
Yeah.
The church doesn't. And I'm not talking about everybody.
Right.
Because
right.
that's all I ever get with a kickback. Well, you're criticizing me and I don't even know who you are. I'm generalizing.
Right.
The church is in the pits. Read Revelation 3:14-17.
Okay.
And I'm not doing this, Raven, and neither you, to criticize the church. What we're doing is trying to get people back to God and the Holy Spirit, period.
Right. And I'm not saying that all pastors who have gone to Bible college are bad pastors. That's not what I'm trying to say.
No.
No. I'm just saying God does not need to do that. He can
anyone. That is the breakdown, Raven. The churches in general don't believe that.
Yeah. Yeah. He can use anyone.
Pick a big name church in this area, and all of a sudden, the pastor says, "No, don't." Okay, pastor comes
don't say
in
it.
One
yeah,
day
yeah.
And he's resigning, and I have found a person that I'm going to appoint. He's going to be your lead pastor, and he's going to continue the work of God.
Hmm.
And you give his resume.
Mm-hmm.
And he never went to college, never went to Bible school.
Right.
What did they say about Jesus? Why do we have to listen to this 14-year-old kid? He never studied.
Right.
The teacher is not man, folks.
Right.
In 1988, I don't know if I ever told you this, I had a few bucks saved, not much. But I was going to quit the job I was in, which was a 7-day-a-week, 24-hour. It was literally 24-hour a day, 365 days a year. It was a service business. And it doesn't make how many hours. It makes no difference. When a machine goes down in a factory costing $1 million a day or maybe $2 million a day, you don't say you're tired. So I was going to take a job like being a Walmart greeter or something like that where I had fixed hours. And I had three young kids. I wasn't going to leave and go away. I was going to devote all my time to becoming on a correspondence course at that time, becoming an ordained minister.
Okay.
And the Holy Spirit basically told me, so you don't trust me to help you. And you know what? I just say you're right. That's the bottom line. I don't. I've got to get this degree because that's all the churches say. You got to go to Bible college.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go to seminary. Raven, take this church. Take the one I go to. And the pastor says, I'm going to have... And he's going to give him my credit, my background, and you know my background and preparation. It's nothing to do with, am I criticizing seminarism? No. I'm criticizing the fact we don't believe that God can do what you read in John 14:26, 15:26, and 16:13. We don't believe it.
Yes.
And Laodicea is the perfect. Now, all this is not meant just to scream about the church today.
Yeah.
Because I've heard in the business world, don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. Think outside the box. I've heard all those cliches. What is our purpose then? It is folks like you, Raven, who have no education formally in this. You have degrees from college, but not in this. It is about you trusting in the Holy Spirit. And that is the thing that's going to win souls, folks. And we're not here for any reason other than to win souls. Let's get that out of the way. Now, Raven, I'd like you to read, again, I want you to read John 14, 10, 12, and 13, and read them slowly. This is the only reason that I listen to you or want you on this program. I don't need somebody to read. I'm capable of reading. But you have the Holy Spirit working in you, and I'm convinced of it, and I want you to read 10, 12, and 13 in John 14 again.
Okay. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works.
Okay.
Most assuredly,
do I not, we're on a delay here, folks, which is silly. Raven is a co-host. She shouldn't be on a delay. I don't know how to solve the problem. I'm an idiot when it comes to any of this stuff. But the reason we have this conflict here is she doesn't hear what I'm saying until you hear it. I recognize that you're able to do this even though you have no training because you have the one who is the teacher, the counselor, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Again, the last thing I'm going to do, folks, and I'd say this to anybody, even a pastor, if I don't believe that God is speaking through you and I believe that you're just giving sermon.com sermons I know why you're going to get on. I don't even want you a call-in guest on the program. There's
right.
enough of this nonsense going around, folks, and I'm not going to, I don't want to be answerable to God one day why I took someone just to make me feel better, just to make them love me. No, the only
yeah.
reason I want people being a co-host of this program, a host in it when I've got to do something else, is because I recognize what you wrote here. The Father dwells in me, and he does the works. If I wasn't convinced you did this, Raven, even though we've been friends a long time, I would not be, we would not be doing it together. Now go to verse 12.
I'm glad to hear that.
Well, I'm
that
serious.
Really
I
makes me
couldn't.
Glad to hear that.
Well, let
yeah.
me, how many other people do it with me?
No one. No one.
I'm saying there's nobody else. There's a couple
right.
of people that I've asked, and they would rather not. They just don't have
okay.
the confidence, I think. But
gotcha.
Trust me,
yeah.
I'm not going to do this stuff and then someday God come up to me and say, Carl, don't look for any rewards for what you've done because you just insulted me and the Holy Spirit. Go ahead to verse
yeah,
12.
Right. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father.
If I didn't have, if I wasn't 100% convinced that that situation, and Raven, you tell me every week that you didn't even, you never even thought about this thing you explained. If I didn't believe that you were telling the truth, I would have no interest in you being on the program. I'd still be a friend of yours and all, but no.
Right.
I'm convinced of it. Because the reason I'm convinced of it, Raven, is because I have done the same thing. Okay,
yeah.
go to 13.
And whatever you
yeah.
ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
And you see now, that is the result. This is the
yes.
result of what you're doing, is that the Father is glorified in the Son. Now, strangely enough, read the very beginning clause of 16:14. This is the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, notice it's not that I may be glorified, but that God
That's
is
right.
glorified. The Father is glorified.
Jesus,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
So do you see?
Yeah.
This is so critical, folks. And if I, as the moderator, this isn't my program, but it is my hour and a half that I am in charge
right.
of what's going on here. If I didn't believe that
yeah.
about you, I absolutely could not do it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a thought, but Raven, the churches don't believe it. That's why I'm doing this today, and I'm going to stay on it for three chapters, is because the problems are, folks, you're not getting this information in general. And that's
yeah.
not me. I've given you three times the names of the people, seven of them that I can think of. This is the bane of the church today. We are Laodicea, but in every Laodicean church, every church, every horrible situation, even the ark in Noah's flood, God left eight people. There is a remnant of people that God has left. And what our job is to do is to bring salvation through faith in Jesus Christ alone to the rest of the world. And we've got to fill it, what the church is lacking today. I spent a lot of time saying what they're lacking, but I've got to spend time equally, maybe more, on what God has given us to do in order to overcome the deficit that the church has left.
Yeah.
Now let's go to
Revelation
yeah. 3:14 and 17. Read 3:14 through 17, because I'm going to complete
okay.
this loop before we do any more. This is the completion of the loop.
Angel of the Church of the Laodiceans write, these things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see.
Now, I want you to see something, folks. In 3:14-16, he does not compliment the Laodicean church in one thing. Out of the seven churches, this is the only church I've seen not one statement that they do anything right. In fact, what he does say, I know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. But you notice in verse 18 and 19, he's always dealing with the remnant. And the purpose of the remnant is to spread the gospel that the church in 14, 15, 16, and 17 is not doing. Mm-hmm. They are exalting their church, their denomination, their budget, their expansion, their music, their worship, their programs. If anyone is not highlighting Jesus Christ and every statement, every program does not have of its roots to glorify the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is the devil's church. Am I saying that the people are wrong? No,
yeah.
I'm not. But the worship of Satan has crept in. If you read the epistles, folks, including Jude is the one chapter. Not one verse in that chapter that I see is anything but condemnation for the ravenous wolves who have entered the modern church. Not one verse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not here to show you the church is evil. That is not my job. Anyone with two brain cells connecting can see that. We have allowed Satan's preaching and teaching to come in. The Holy Spirit says in Corinthians that Satan will actually disguise himself as the angel of light, who is Christ. And he will have ministers who will be preaching and teaching doctrines of demons and devils. All this is not to show you that the church is corrupt. All this is to show you, folks, that God has given you a gift like he's given Raven and I. If you're a believer, we all have a gift in order to do what? Read Revelation 3:20 and see where the Holy Spirit is still working. But he's now left the institution in general, and he's now depending on individual people. Read Revelation 3:20, which is after Laodicea.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me.
Do you see where that is now? The Holy Spirit didn't say, I'm never going to church again.
Right.
Because I'm afraid of COVID. He said, he's moving. He still wants that message out. He's still giving spiritual gifts to every believer. You are a minister. We're all ministers of reconciliation, which is 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. That doesn't mean you're an ordained minister. You're a preacher and a teacher, but it doesn't mean you are in the churches preaching and teaching. He's given you spiritual gifts, but they're all done for what reason? Because he wants us to carry on where the church is lacking. And he's done that all through history, folks, all through history. That is the part I want people to see. You may be angry with me or upset with me or thinking I'm brash or I'm this or that. I don't care what people think. I don't mean I don't care. I'm just not going to be concerned over it right now. I would rather you see what I'm trying to say. Somebody has always, even the only eight people in the world, he got eight people saved from the calamity of Noah, of the flood with Noah's Ark, in order to do what? to continue the gospel. And that's what every one of us who are really truthfully believers, we have that ministry. And again, what do I do about it, Raven? Pastor Raven? Well, I've got a Bible college that I'm part owner in, and you got to come to that Bible. No, what Raven exposed me to probably 2-3 years ago was James 1:5. When you have a question, when you have anything where you need God's wisdom, you don't go to man. You go to God. The church doesn't believe that, folks. But if you're listening to me for the last hour and 17 minutes, you obviously, in fact, you're still listening to me rattle on. You believe what we're saying. Go to God first.
Amen.
There's a person, right? Absolutely. That I use this thing you and I discuss, or you discussed with me a long time ago on James, and you know the lady. And she said, when I explained to her the explanation of James 1:5, she said it changed her whole spiritual life. That wasn't me.
Amen.
That's because she believed. Now, she, like you said, she didn't have doubts. And God has blessed her tremendously.
Yes. Yes, he will.
I want to take this here. I want you to read it again. I want you to read the seriousness of read 12 through 14 and connect them all together in John 14.
Yep. 10 through 14. John 14, 10
no,
to 14.
No, not. Well, you read 10, 12, 13. 13 and 12, 13 and 14. And I want to connect it all with that last verse.
Okay, read 12, 13 and 14.
14. Yes.
Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask
and
in my name,
to the Father,
that...
Again, hold on. Going to the Father means that the Holy Spirit will be with each one of you. And God, the Holy Spirit, is they're all one. Jesus, the Father, and the Holy... Okay, go ahead.
Amen. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Because the Father is going to be glorified in the Son. And that is the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit being here. So do you see why it's so important that we go to the Holy Spirit for advice? Because his only purpose here is not to give Carl a master's degree or a doctorate degree, even though I'd love to have done it. His only purpose here is to bring glory to the Father and bring glorified Jesus. Well, let me read John 16:14. He will glorify me. He will receive of mine and show it to you. Why do we want to go to men, church-related psychologists and counselors and Bible study teachers like me when I can't even help myself? Why? It's to me, Raven, it's like when I studied in college 100 years ago, the theory of relativity. I took a whole year semester on it. It's just something that I can memorize the equations, but I can't grasp my mind around it. I can't grasp my mind around the very people who carry a Bible and supposedly believe it can't see this so clearly. This is not something you have to have esoteric mind in where you're a little smarter than everybody else. This is flat-out declarative statements. And yet, I'm telling you, even as of this morning, I don't want to say too much. I'm hearing that we got to go to people. Go to people, but ask God first.
Yes. Definitely.
You see why if you ask anything in his name, that's Jesus, he will do it? Because you're glorifying the Father.
Yes.
And that's the whole purpose of him coming to this earth, to glorify the Father. Why?
Yeah, so that you can give that testimony.
Well, read 13 again of John 14. Yeah.
And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Yes.
Why would we want to do anything else?
Right.
Why?
Right. The glory shouldn't go to the doctor.
Yeah.
The glory doesn't go to the doctor. The glory doesn't go to me. The glory goes to God. God healed me.
But that's a declarative statement. Why do we continue in the churches raising our people? They've got little offices, little rooms of who's the one to go for addictions, for marriage problems. Who is the only one that has all the answers? God, why do we not do that?
Yeah.
Now, going to wrap up here. I want you to go, well, Carl, good. You found a couple of verses in the New Testament. Go to Isaiah 9:6.
All right.
No, this is not something that the New Testament just dreamed up.
Right. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Counselor, with a capital C, that means the Mighty God. Why do we need to go to Carl for counseling? If you go to Carl for one word, and Carl does not go right to the God with it, get away from me because I'm an enemy to your soul. John the Baptist says he must increase, I must decrease. How many churches are increasing at the expense of Christ decreasing?
Yes. Yes.
If I do not point you in everything to the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, now, this is a triune God. He's the counselor. And that's the mighty God, the everlasting Father. You see, again, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Christ is the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father. And that's God the Father, the Prince of Peace is Christ. And they're all, what's the counselor? The Holy Spirit. You see again in 9:6 where it's a triune God's involved in everything.
Yeah.
But we would rather go to Carl for information when Carl's life is a wreck himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I am hoping no one's offended. I'm hoping you see the dearth, the pits that we're in of Laodicea. And then you pray to the Holy Spirit to ask him to do what Raven and I were afraid to do in the beginning, and that is to use his power, his gifts, and his words to help these people who are in the churches who are miserable, wretched, poor, blind, and naked, and they don't even know it because the churches tell them they're good people. Why do bad things happen to good people?
Hmm.
Folks, we've got a job to do, and we've been given spiritual gifts, and don't think we're not going to be accountable for them. Oh, I've never thought of this, and I'm 70 years old. What do I do? Go to James 1:5. Ask God. Don't ask me. The only thing I can do to help anybody, folks, is go to God first, last, and always. Now, he will point you to people, and that we know has happened. He does point you to people, but you go to him to find out. Not someone like Carl who wrote a book, which I never had. We're going to wrap up. You're going to go ahead and say a prayer and thanking the Holy Spirit. We need him to be with us heavy on this whole series, John 14, 15, and 16. Because, folks, if we leave the Spirit out, the Holy Spirit is the one that is going to people. We saw in Revelation 3:20, and he is knocking on each one's door. If you will, there's a picture about this, and that picture has no handle on the outside. You've got to open the door to your heart. Please believe what God's saying. Don't believe what I'm saying or what Raven says. You believe us when we're pointing you to the Word of God only, and I couldn't be more serious.
Amen.
All right, why don't you go ahead and say a final prayer, and we'll pick up with John chapter 14, verse 15 next week.
Hey, Carl, I just want to say.
No, go ahead.
I have a Google Hub. It's like a Alexa thing, you know. It shows pictures on it, and I can ask it questions. Anyway, I just looked over at it, and it says that it's 11 degrees outside. Now, for those who are listening, no, I've got it at this thing is set for, you know, the United States. Yeah. I don't know. Something screwed up with it. But I just want to say, this is why you don't accept man's wisdom. Go outside and see what it feels like. Go with God's wisdom. It's nice and warm out. Don't always accept man's wisdom, because it's a mess.
We're in the northern part of the Midwest in the Great Lakes, and I have never seen a week since 1966, when I moved here from New York City, I have never seen 7 days where six of them were sunshine. I have not. Not in the Great Lakes.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It's beautiful out today. Yeah, it's gorgeous. But anyway.
You know those lights? Not lights, but they're little sticks with a light on it that you put in the ground and the sun shines in the daytime and at night. Okay, I had a couple because of this, of the wind and the wind and all, that were sort of bent over. Yesterday morning, after our Bible study, when I had to go out and start doing the work that woman God gave me to do, I took and straightened them out. I was going to try and push them back into the ground. I thought, oh, man, I better not push too hard, because if I hit solid ground, they'll break. And you know what? That ground was as soft as butter.
Is that right?
That is unbelievable. We're right now. Right now, we're in the dead midwinter by the calendar. And yet, I've never seen a year like this. This is unbelievable.
No.
And people
say, it is.
Well,
it's crazy.
They say, we're going to get buried in March. Let us get buried in March. We still just show. We've had December, January, and February so far. And looking at the long range, because my wife's got to have reconstructive surgery this coming Friday, I'm telling you, through next week, there is no, the weather's going to be mild for wintertime.
Yeah.
In fact, Raven,
it really is.
Let me tell you this. This week, I don't know. She's got to have surgery, and they tell me that I've got to be there. I've got to drive her there and drive her home, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, do you know if you – can the person go home in the during the surgery, or do you have to stay there?
No, you can go home.
As long as I'm back. Okay.
Yeah. My son went home when I had surgery. I probably better say a prayer. We're at 4:30.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, let's do that. Go ahead.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the gifts that you give us to be able to have these ministries so that we can reach out to the lost and to those who maybe the unchurched or those who just need to hear a word in the afternoon after church, whatever people are listening for, whatever their reasons, we're just so happy that you have given us this ministry, Lord, that you allow us to speak to people about you and about your word. It's, as I said before, it's a blessing, Lord. And we love you, and we thank you for it. And we pray that we will be able to come back again next week and do this again. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for your time. And next week we'll pick back up on John 14:15. Just quick question. Are you going this evening?
I don't think so. I'm not sure.
Okay, because if you do, let me know before 5:30, because when you do go, I want to bring that commentary for you.
Okay. I'll let you know within half an hour.
Well, if you don't call by 5:30, I'm going to assume you're not. Don't worry about
okay.
it.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right, because someday mm-hmm. I want to get that commentary to you. You will die not reading it because it's about 600 pages. But
oh, okay.
On Genesis
all right.
alone. Okay.
All right.
Thank you, folks.
All right.
Thank you, Raven. Take care.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.